Welcome back to the High Functioning Disaster. I'm your host, Sasha Holder. If you got the first two parts of my conversation with Hillary Momberger Powers, you've already heard how honest and unfiltered she is about recovery, reinvention, and remembering who you were before the world told you who to be. In this third part of our conversation, we go even deeper into reparenting and self-soothing. Hillary walks us through comforting your younger self, the power of gentleness when you've spent decades in survival mode, and the practical ways she's learned to talk herself through hard moments with love instead of shame. Let's get into it. So you told me your story about going to Australia and New Zealand, and I absolutely love that story. How did that experience shape the way you see fear and reinvention? And then, you know, you can feel free to share some of that story if you want for our listeners.
Well, I always wanted to go somewhere, you know, but I always, you know, my wound of I don't have enough money, I'll never get a job, I'll never be able to afford it, I can't take work off. I always got all these excuses. And excuses are just ways to make me feel like crap. Because I'm used to feeling like crap. I'll keep beating the same drum and complaining about the drum being beaten, but I'm doing it. Excuse me. So anyway, I had this mentor and I always wanted to travel. I thought only rich girls travel, only privileged girls travel, all these things. And I'd already written this whole story about how I'll never go anywhere. You know, you always hear, when I'm 70, when I retire. Honey, if you don't do it now, you're probably not going to do it. Just do it today. Shut up and live, you know? And so I said to my mentor, I said, I really want to go. She says, where do you want to go? And I'm like, as far as I can from LA. Just where's that? I said, how about Australia? Now, I know nobody in Australia. But once I put that intention, you know how they say intentions, you put it out there. And she said, then go. And I said, I don't have enough money. And she looked me straight in the eye and she said, Hillary, the day that you get that you are never going to have enough of anything, meaning when I'm living in my ego, it's never satisfied. She goes, until you get that, you better just, you know, you might as well, you need to shut up and live. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go. And like 2 days later, my friend said, hey, I got this, know this company that if you bring a package on the airplane, it'll be half the airplane fare. I was like, see, once I open up my mind and say, I don't know, why not me? And stop living in my wound of I'm not enough and I don't have enough money. There is my wound. It prevents me from anything. It just keeps gaping and oozing and pussing and but I made a decision. I followed it with an action. I said, okay. So I called up the airline and I got a plane ticket. So like a week later, my friend says, hey, my friend lives in Australia. Maybe you can go babysit their kids for a few weeks and then you can stay at their house. I was like, okay. So I'm 24 years old and I get on this plane. It was $783. I went from, I still remember the price, went from LA to Australia, and then I went to New Zealand, and then I flew back to Australia and went home. That was cheap back then. It was a long time ago. And I remember getting to Australia and thinking, okay, I made it. And I was terrified because my mind was still stuck in, I'm scared, I don't know anybody. And then I said, just shut up and live. Because I kept hearing her say, you better just shut up and live. So I remember walking down the road and I went and I looked in my reflection in the mirror and I thought, oh my God, I'm alone. And then I thought, oh my God, I'm here. I did it. And so that gave me the bug of travel. And I kept thinking, I may be going by myself, but I got God with me, and I'm actually making friends with myself. And all of a sudden, I pushed myself. I was so scared, and I was thinking, God, I can't wait to go home. Can't wait to go home. No, just be here right now. Be here right now. And of course, the story is always greater where you go, oh, I have the best time ever. Half of the time, I was terrified. But I got to walk through my fear and found out that I'm okay to be with alone. It's okay to just hang out with Hillary. I don't need 18 distractions. Like, it's just okay. So from there, I ended up, I mean, I've been to 29, 30 countries. I love traveling. I've been to, you know, Cuba. I've been to, like, I just throw things and I want to go here because if there's a way, I'll figure it out. And then once I make that decision, it's like the world just opens up. Well, I got a place to stay. And then I stayed at a lifeguard station in New Zealand. My friend's like, my boyfriend, you can go stay at his lifeguard station if you have nowhere to stay. I was like, okay. It was just crazy. So, yeah, I got the bug, the travel bug. And then from thereafter, my fear just kind of left a little bit more. And now it's, you know, I can go anywhere alone. I like my company.
That's nice. Whenever you learn to just be with yourself and, as you said, you didn't need 18 different distractions. Just being with yourself is so, it's nice.
It's so nice.
Peaceful.
One of my favorite things to do is turn the phone off and sit outside and listen to the birds and smell the air. I mean, that's that stabilizing. Like, I feel so secure. And I go for everything outside of myself to feel secure, and the magic's in me.
Yes, the magic's in me. That is so true. We have so much more power than we give ourselves credit for, power to, you know, make a change, make a pivot. Like you said earlier, how you became a masseuse and you used the money from that to go to art school. And then from art school, you went to UCLA, right?
Right. And then it was like I would work. I remember it was my mentor said to me, Hillary, if you don't, like I'd gotten out at UCLA and I wanted to be a script supervisor at film school. She said, all right, you know, give me a challenge. I'm like, I'm ready for Freddie. So she says, if you don't get a job out of college, you need to go and do what you went to school for, art. Because I went to school to be in computer graphics, which back then it was like those box computers. I didn't even know what I was doing. Paste up and lay out, and I had to be really clean. I'm like, oh no, I can be really messy. I can't do that. That's not my job. And she said, if you don't get a job, you need to go back and become a graphic artist. And I thought, don't make me do that. And I got a job on a short, Disney short, making $50 a day. And I was working 14 hours a day. I was so happy that I got a job. I was so excited. Like, I was making like $2 an hour when it all came out after everything in it. And then I worked on the side and I said, okay, I will do some artwork and I will, you know, because I'm a painter too. And I'm just like, I'll do whatever it takes. Because I was finding hope and excitement and this new stuff that I was learning, and I was making movies, and I thought, and I ended up using my masseuse, and then I would work at, you know, a chiropractor's office in between so I could make enough money for rent. And I kept thinking, this is fun. I'm living. This is what I wanted to do, is live. You know, I'm no longer drinking and hurting myself, and, you know, I'm doing what I want that makes me happy. So, you know, if you can find something that makes you happy, follow your bliss. Just go for it and ask God to send you more things to be happy about. Because you get what you think about. You know, you think your life sucks? It'll suck. Trust me. If you think you have no luck, you won't have any luck. If you think you're no one loves you, you will push everyone away and you will be right. Because the ego, or if you keep going to your ego, it's going to be right. It won't. It's trying to play God, so it's going to be right.
Absolutely. So I like what you just said, but I'm wondering, for someone listening who feels like maybe it's too late to change their life or to make a pivot, what would you tell them?
It's too late. Are you still breathing? Bingo. Can you still dream? Bingo. Do you get excited thinking about other things? Bingo. Use that energy to go for the next indicated step. You know, sometimes I will sit there and I just retired from working on movies, and I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Like, I'll just keep out and, you know, I do a lot of coaching. I'm going to just put it to a different level. I'll just do some more podcasts and be a keynote speaker. And I'm thinking, how do I do that? I get excited about being of service. How can I add to the universe? How can I help somebody? How can I open someone, crack someone's egg? How can I help them find God? How can I help them find out that they're not, that what they've done is not who they are? That's just stuff he did. How can I help somebody forgive themselves and everyone else? Wow. And that excitement makes me want to keep going further and further. So focus on what you want and all the little attachments that come to it. Like, I know for me, I have freedom. I know it brings me self-worth, what I'm doing. I get to meet new friends. I get to see somebody smile. I get to heal. I get to practice what I preach. Like, all these other gifts that come with what I want. So if you think you're too old, you're still breathing. If you weren't breathing, I'd say, yeah, I'm sorry, time's up. Bingo. But you're still breathing. I say, go for it. Go for it.
Definitely. You only have one life, correct?
Maybe. I don't know. Let's just act as if.
Right.
This is it, baby. Go for it. And surround yourself with people that are of your likeness, meaning other people that want to do something different. Surround yourself with excitement. That's an energy frequency that can push you. You know, we call that the herding mentality. If I'm out on the edge, like if you think of all the herding of the animals, the ones that are on the edge, they get picked off. Get in the middle, babe. Get in the middle. Get in the middle of your excitement. And then think of all the wonderful things that come alongside.
That's so good. That is so good. Mm. Getting in the middle and being involved in the things that interest you, as you mentioned earlier, like a book club or whatever it is that you like. Find other people who like doing that too, and get involved with them.
Because, you know, our self-talking mind says, oh, you know, let's say you want to join a book club, or you want to go do you want to join a cooking class or knitting. I don't know whatever you're going to do or whatever. Or you want to start, you know, doing, you know, putting collages together. I mean, a lot of people have these different desires. The second you say, oh no, I'm embarrassed of it, you're getting on the outskirts. You're going to get picked off. But once you say, why not? And when you start looking into it and you get around with other people that are doing it, you all of a sudden, you don't feel so stupid, because our ego judges us and like, oh, that's so stupid. Oh, no, I'm too old. Oh, you know, I'm too fat. I'm too ugly, or no one's going to like. That's just your ego turning on you. So if you can surround yourself with other people and ask them, are you nervous about it too? Or are you afraid? All of a sudden you open up a whole can of worms. It's like other people are like, oh my God, I was afraid to do it too. Then you start supporting one another. And you know, there's power. What's that old saying? One horse can pull 500 pounds. Two horses can pull a ton. Power, power. There's power in that. Pretty yes. Awesome, huh?
It is. It is. So your life has been very interesting, the path you've taken. Mm-hmm. So you've been a child star. You've gone through addiction and recovery. And now you're in service to others. And so I'm curious, like, how you made that pivot, like what made you pivot from, I guess, chasing a spotlight, if you will, to living for service?
Oh, wow. That's a, yeah. How did that? Like you said, it wasn't all of a sudden, you know, when you're relying on your outsides to make you feel good, you know, unfortunately, because that's kind of like an infantile thing. It's like little kids. I want everybody to be my best friend. But then that one person's not, you're like, oh, you know, you start getting a little damaged. You start getting a little hurt. Your ego gets hurt. And, you know, I never felt the satisfaction of abandoning myself and being there for someone else is like better than gaining $1 million for me. There's nothing, you know, you can't buy the feeling that you get from doing something that you can't buy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Like money can't buy you happiness. And when you serve someone, you get something out of it too, even though your intent usually isn't to get something, it's to give. Mm-hmm. You still end up with a benefit from it.
It feels like riches. It's that feeling. It's almost like that energy, like you can do anything. You feel like God because you're acting like God. So you get that, it's like that, you get filled with that spirit of like, wow, this feels great. I want to give more. I want to give more. And you're not doing it to get anything in return. It's doing it because, you know, when you go out and try to get success, the ego's never satisfied.
Right.
And I say that. The ego says, yeah, but I could have, what if I would have, oh, I got 10 clients. Yeah, but I should have gotten 15. Shit, maybe. Oh, I made, you know, I put $10,000 away. Oh man, I wanted to put 20. I got to keep going and going. But when you go to give without an expectation and a return, like for fun, for free, I don't want anything. I just want to do it because my gift is seeing you smile. The lights go on. Someone who says, thank you. I'm so grateful you're in my life. Like, that's like, I can't buy that. I have to give that. I can't take it. I got to give it to get it.
Yeah.
That's heroin. It's like, you can't even like, it's like, you know, I've never done ayahuasca, but I can only imagine it's like the ayahuasca of like, oh my God, this is like unbelievable. You know, it's something about being of service and doing it without asking anything in return. It's, man, and then it's almost like you get blessed over and over and over. Not all outside blessing, but I feel good about myself. I can look myself in the mirror. I think to myself, you're a good woman. Like, you can't buy that. That everything I've been through, it's all worth it. It's the best life ever. Mm. I wouldn't trade one pain, one loss. I wouldn't trade one day, Sasha, not one freaking day. I like where my life has come to. It is not perfect. I make a lot of mistakes. I don't care. Oh, well, oopsie. Best day ever. Oopsie.
Yeah. And every day that you've had to this point has built on the previous ones to help get you where you are and who you are.
Mm-hmm. And because I'm not leading with my wound, I'm not creating my past to be my present.
Exactly. So when you shared sort of that visualization of comforting your younger self, your little girl, Hillary, mm-hmm. Can you sort of walk us through how reparenting and self-soothing work, like in practice when you do that, how do they work to do that? Like to reparent? How does that bring you forward from then to now, that little girl?
Well, when you're a child or you go through something traumatic, you kind of get stuck. You know, those, and you never get the comfort that you want, which is, I really want someone to rescue me. And I keep waiting for someone to rescue me. I get stuck. A little kid gets stuck. It's like someone yells at me and throws something at, you know, throws sand at me at school. I'm stuck. I think I'm only good for being thrown sand at. And I want someone to soothe me and tell me, I love you. You're okay. Now, you know, my friends used to say, I love my mom. She's so wonderful to me. And I would think, they go, don't you wish you had that? I don't know what it's like. I can't miss something I've never had.
Mm.
So I didn't really say, yeah, I wish my mom. What I wished was, I wished I could have something to identify with you. You know what I mean? I'm not wishing to have the same experience. I want to be able to connect with you and say, oh, my mom does that too. Oh, I get it. Me too. But when you're raised in a family where you don't get a lot of love and comfort, I could either continue the rest of my life as a victim. I lost out. My life sucks. Nobody loves me. Or I could go back to yesteryear. And how I do that is, some days when I get frustrated and I get angry, or I'm overtired and I'm not eating well and I don't sleep well and I don't get enough sunshine, I do things like, how would a good mother treat, or a foster? I don't call it a good mother because I don't have the identification with. I call it my foster mother. So what would a foster mother do? Mm-hmm. Oh, she would make sure I ate well. So I'm like, oh, I should get something to eat. That I turn all the music off the television, turn my phone off. Because, you know, she would want me to calm down. Just to, you know, let go of the electronics because they can rattle you and the blue light from the phone. And I just kind of like, okay, I'm going to do that. So I do things. I talk to myself. I say things like, oh, honey, you're tired, aren't you? And I close my eyes and I imagine myself going, you know, when you see people go, I know they're talking to themselves. I know they're reparenting. Like, I'm the best foster mother ever. I say things like, I am so tired. Gosh, I just need to take a nap. So I do self-soothing. I start loving myself. I start being that foster mother I didn't have. When someone gets me really mad or calls me names, I can't get them to take the words back. I can only soothe myself with giving myself different words like, oh, honey, you're a good girl. And I talk to myself like a little kid. I'm 63. I don't care. Y'all think I'm crazy? I'm a happy crazy. You all are miserable. That's what I joke about. But I literally will say things like, oh, honey, he's just having a bad day. You're not a bad girl. Well, he doesn't like himself. You know, when we don't like ourselves, we're mean to other people too. So I start counseling myself and talking to myself like I wish a mom would have talked to me. Like, what would a parent do? Oh, honey, he pulled your hair because he probably likes you and he doesn't know what to. Remember those talks we got?
Yes.
You probably got? You know, I see it on, you know, Leave It to Beaver. But anyway, but I will self-soothe myself. And I start having conversations with my hurt little girl. Remember, she's hurt. She's, you know, she feels a little fractured. So I need to do some self-healing. And I do those with words. I do that, you know, I'll sit there and play with my hair. You know, these are little gestures I do for myself. Like, you know, those are my way of calming myself. I'll do little stuff. And, you know, what's on? God, a good glass of water. So I'll go get myself. Water is incredible. We're so dehydrated. You know, we drink sodas and crap food and all this stuff. We're dying. So it's like, I'm going to have a glass of water. And I start to reparent the little girl that's dying to be held. And I imagine myself giving myself a hold. Imagine myself, my little girl sitting on my shoulder and me going, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. The world can leave you, but I'm not going anywhere. And I do that in my secret place, which is inside me. I don't announce it like I'm a crazy girl walking down the street having self, please don't answer, but I give myself that moment to be kind to me. Because that's all I want is I want people to be kind to me. I got to start with me first. I got to be kind to me. Then other people will reflect. My insides will reflect the outsides. So it starts with me.
That's a wrap on part three of my conversation with Hillary Momberger Powers. And honestly, I could have stayed in that space for hours. My biggest takeaways? Gentleness is a discipline. Your inner child is still listening, and every time you choose softness over self-shame, you're rewriting the story that kept you stuck. Next time, we wrap up our conversation, and Hillary shares the daily rituals and mindset shifts that anchor her healing. Gratitude before her feet hit the floor, boundaries without guilt, and her pet the kitty, don't poke the snake philosophy for preserving peace. Trust me. It's one of my favorites in the whole series. See you next time. Oh, and one last thing. The content shared on the High Functioning Disaster is for informational and conversational purposes only and is not intended as professional, medical, or mental health advice. Everyone's situation is unique, and what we talk about here may not apply to your specific circumstances. Please do what's right for you and always consult with a qualified professional for medical, mental health, financial, or legal guidance. You take care of you, boo. See you next time.